The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Manishma, I'm good, and yourself?
Excellent, thank you. So I was just, we were going through what happened in the world whilst you were sleeping a little bit earlier, and we came across a story, BDS movement disavows Boston Project mapping Jewish group. Seems a little late for this. I mean, this story's been going on for weeks. If it wasn't the BDS who were doing it, surely they would have stood up immediately and said, hold on a minute, why is everybody saying this is us? This is not us. It's taken them weeks upon weeks, and the threat of an American investigation that suddenly made them say, oh, no, it's not us at all.
Well, you know, it just is the gift that keeps on giving in the worst way. It's like a bad smell that you can't get rid of. But it is extremely coincidental that now that there have been calls for the FBI to investigate this, all of a sudden they are distancing themselves from it. As you say, if BDS Boston did not BDS Boston, who put this mapping project out, it has resulted in widespread condemnation from U.S. lawmakers, from Jewish organizations, including the ADL, who are actually targeted in this, as are schools, synagogues, etc., etc. And only now that there has been a call for the FBI to investigate, have they all of a sudden said, oh dear, sorry, my bad, we don't stand behind this. But let's not kid, this is something that is squarely BDS endorsed, because it plays right into the way that BDS operate. The specific targeting of Jewish businesses, the specific targeting of the Jewish state, the specific targeting on Jews, whether they are on campus or businesses or communal installations. Or we've seen it in countries around the world whenever there are flare-ups. Make no mistake, BDS is behind this. This is just not them accepting responsibility for their actions. And I have seen over the last couple of days this vile project endorsed by anti-Semites like David Miller and Code Pink, who have said, quote unquote, all Zionist institutions must be dismembered. Now, they consider schools Zionist institutions. They consider synagogues as Zionist institutions. As a very, very smart listener said last week, you know, not all Zionists are Jewish. Why haven't they said anything about Christian Zionist organizations? The fact that they are specifically targeting Jewish Zionist installations says everything that you need to know about BDS, about their supporters. And you know who else used to speak like this about eradicating Jewish installations, institutions, schools, and synagogues?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. And it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago when I spoke to BDS here in South Africa about whether they're anti-Semitic or not, and I raised the question of the Boston mapping, at no time did they say, hold on a minute, that's not us. So it does seem just a little odd that it's taken, what, nearly a month or so for and the threat of an investigation for the BDS to say, actually, no, this has got nothing to do with us. The others, whilst we're still talking about American, before we move to other conversations, I see that there is a push as well for the United States to get involved with investigating the death of the Al Jazeera journalist. Now, whereas I'm a little conflicted, and I would love your thoughts on it. On the one hand, obviously, it's great to get the truth as to what really happened. But on the other side of it, why is this the only journalist being investigated, or journalist death ever being investigated? We don't see this going on in a call for the U.S. to get involved with the investigations into the death of so many other journalists who have died in conflict in the last year or so.
Well, I think this is because Shirin Abu Akleh had dual citizenship. It's rumored that she was both a U.S. and a Palestinian citizen. So the U.S. could want to get involved with this from the perspective that she was a U.S. citizen. Also, I think that there probably have been workings behind the scenes with Israeli authorities to say to the USA, we want to get to the bottom of this. The Palestinians refuse to cooperate with us. They refuse to hand over that fatal bullet. Maybe if you get involved as well, it puts the pressure on the Palestinians, and you know, we can get to the bottom of this for once and for all, and maybe at long last put this case to bed. Now, the Palestinians refused offers of American assistance as well, and you know, it just to me sounds like also another strange coincidence that Al Jazeera managed to procure a picture of the so-called fatal bullet last week. However, nobody else, no other news channel, no other authority, certainly not Israel, who have requested it with the help of the Americans, have not received that fatal bullet. You know, it smells a little off color to me.
It does indeed. Let's talk about Turkey. What's happening there?
Let's talk Turkey, because Turkey has been a big discussion in Israel this week, following the calls last week for Israelis to leave with immediate effect. This follows the threats by Iranian operatives who are in Turkey to either kidnap or assassinate Israeli nationals in Turkey. And yesterday, the stunning news breaking that Turkish intelligence officials, with the help of the local police, had stopped a potential kidnapping of a former Israeli ambassador and his wife, as well as stopped plans to murder Israeli citizens. It's absolutely staggering. But yesterday, our foreign minister / interim prime minister / soon to be interim prime minister, I think I said that, I need another cup of coffee, flew to Turkey. Just as an aside, what I found fascinating is that there is a Saudi delegation in Turkey at the moment, and Israeli and the Saudi delegations managed to greet each other warmly. That's is it a portent of things to come? Could be. But the Lapid met with his counterpart Mevlut Cavusoglu in Turkey yesterday, thanked him for all their efforts, and they held a joint press conference. Cavusoglu said, you know, there is no way that Turkey is going to allow for this to happen to Israeli citizens, especially not on our turf. The our foreign minister thanked him, and Israel has put out the warning that if you threaten our citizens to Iran, we are going to come after you. We will not tolerate that.
Absolutely. And what is amazing about this is the cooperation that we've seen between Israel and Turkey, which really does go so, which is something we should appreciate, given how poor that relationship has been over the last number of years.
Well, in the press conference yesterday, Cavusoglu said, you know, we've made our opinions well known about, you know, where we stand with regards to the Palestinians and looking for a solution there. Lapid said, you know, we understand Turkey's point of view. And I think that this is what bilateral ties are all about. Please take note, Durko, is that you can have divergent opinions, you can express your concerns. I'm sure that Israel has expressed our concerns on issues in other countries that we don't necessarily agree with. But at the end of the day, it's about building a stronger region. It's about building stronger ties. And even though we might have had disagreements with Turkey on certain issues, the end result was a thank you for cooperation. And you know what we can do? We can increase the import of Turkish fruit to Israel.
Amazing. Way to win Israeli hearts, just, or Jewish hearts, is just, yeah, bring in some food and then everybody's happy. Absolutely.
Always through the stomach, Howard. Always
absolutely
through the stomach.
Absolutely right. Let's just talk about Israel adopting the IHRA and talking presidency 2025.
Well, yesterday, the Speaker of the Knesset announced that on Wednesday night, Israel's Knesset, which he regards and he actually referred to as the Parliament of the Jewish People, formally adopted IHRA. IHRA is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's working definition of anti-Semitism. Now, while it's not a legally binding document, it does lay out the parameters by which we judge whether something is inherently anti-Semitic. And of course, it's come up for criticism. Some say, you know, making the statement that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, that doesn't allow for criticism of Israel. Of course it does. You know, as we keep saying, and we can't stress strenuously enough, criticizing Israeli policy is democratic. You know, Israel is a robust democracy. We do it ourselves here on a daily basis. I mean, you just have to be at gym on Tuesday morning with me, Howard, to hear the divergent opinions on the dissolving of the government and what everybody thinks should be done and the criticisms that people had to say. But saying that Jewish people have no right to nationhood, to self-determination, to a state of our own, the nation state in our ancient homeland, that we call Israel, to our national liberation movement that we call Zionism, that is inherently anti-Semitic, because that is saying that we can't be like the other nations of the world. You know, I find it ironic that the Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, BDS, and all of those who have redefined apartheid to say, you know, it's the imposing of one group of people to be superior to another. Well, if you're going to take away Jewish people's right to self-determination and not do it to anybody else, isn't that apartheid?
Yeah.
By their definition?
Absolutely. It's just quite incredible. And speaking about that, well, there's a new account of anti-Semitism at UNRWA.
Well, I'm shook. Color me shook, Howard. But UNRWA, that's the United Nations Relief Work Agency, which is mandated solely to look after Palestinians. They are responsible for a lot of the educational material in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Well, our ambassador to the United Nations yesterday, this is Gilad Erdan, said that, you know, once again, the UNRWA is not helping to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is causing enormous damage and incitement and terrorism, and is perpetuating the conflict through its educational material. So why is he saying this? Well, awards have been given out by UNRWA to some of their teachers. As you recall, you and I spoke, I think, almost a year ago, our UN Watchers report that at least 110 teachers had been found guilty of disseminating anti-Semitic material. Well, yesterday, a teacher by the name of Nihaya Awad, who had glorified rocket attacks on Israeli citizens and actually encourages the use of child soldiers, was given a certificate of appreciation for being one of the best performers teachers by UNRWA. So, you know, this has led the our ambassador to the UN to once again criticize. I mean, it really is a theater of the absurd. Last week, we had that UN Commission of Inquiry and those attacks against Israel. And last week, I sat at the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations and heard the UN AOC pat itself on the back for all the work they are doing to combat anti-Semitism. You cannot make this up.
Absolutely bizarre. 1 year anniversary of the Surfside building collapse. The IDF is at the memorial. It's now called for the FBI to investigate. But let's just talk about this 1 year anniversary, because Israel was very, very involved in the Surfside tragedy in trying to assist the survivors.
Well, it was just, I can't believe it's been a year already that the Champlain Towers in the Surfside in Miami, that has a very, very big, a very strong and cohesive Jewish community, most of them coming from South American countries like Venezuela, Argentina, Chile, an amazing community. I visited that community, I know it well, but the Champlain Towers collapsing last year, 98 people lost their lives, and the Israeli Defense Forces assisting with what they hoped would be search and rescue, and unfortunately was just recovery. But expected today are about 300 family members to gather at the site, and it will include IDF members, Major General Ori Gordon. He was responsible for overseeing it, along with members of the IDF's National Rescue Unit. A somber day, a very, very sad day. Surfside is a third Jewish, very, very big Orthodox community. And last year, just extremely moving scenes to see how the IDF went in there, as we said, to assist our greatest friends, and just the pure love that was shown by all members of the Surfside community, Jewish and non-Jewish.
Absolutely right. And on that note, Rolene Marks, that's where we love and leave you. It is 8 o'clock. Thank you, as always, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM.